Okay. This is the July 17th open meeting of the Pacifica National Board. I'll ask our secretary, Afia Wangaza, to take the roll.
Did you call the time?
It's now 9:09, and I want to thank those of you who were here on time for being here.
Shamir Agmir. Tracy Rosenberg. Andrea Turner. Joseph Wanzala.
Here.
Sean O'Brien.
Present.
Leslie Radford. Summer Reese. Rico Ross.
Present.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Alberto Luera. George Ryder.
Here.
Richard Uzel.
Here.
Nia Bediaco.
Present.
Kathy Davis.
Here.
Jennifer Jaeger. Alex Steinberg. Alonzo Brown.
Here.
Campbell Johnson. Kimmery Orendorf. Marcel Reed.
Here.
Jim Bennett.
Present.
Afia Wangaza. Present. We have a quorum.
Thank you. We have scheduled for this time the CFO report, the NES report, and then last night we moved a breakout session to immediately after the NES report. The breakout session, at least one piece of it, will be about the promotional task force and its recommendations. If we move what we didn't complete last night, right after that, the first item on what we didn't complete last night will be, in fact, discussing the promotions task force and taking action on it. So it makes sense to me that we do it in that order. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none then, we'll begin with the CFO's report.
Okay, good morning all. Good morning all. While we arrange our information here, thank you again for this opportunity to present on the financial state of Pacifica Foundation. And before I move forward, I would just like to give a little summary of my background. My name is LaVarne Williams. I'm originally from Texas.
We'll roll that against you, don't worry.
As I've said before, I went from a military occupation in Texas to military occupation in Philadelphia when I left Corpus Christi and went to school. This is just a little of my political aura. And I went to school in Philadelphia. I have a degree in economics from the University of Pennsylvania. I have a MBA from Washington University in St. Louis. I started working with the Xerox Corporation in Rochester, New York, which is also a very a climate, of course, very progressive climate in our past. And I guess part of the reason why I'm working, and I appreciate the opportunity to work with the Pacifica Foundation, because I do believe in peace and social justice. As I didn't say, I consider myself a New World African woman, and living and raised during apartheid, I have a sense of fairness and of justice, and that's why I have chosen to participate and to stay with the foundation after I was given an opportunity to be CFO. I started. I worked for Xerox. I moved out to California with Xerox. I worked for Applied Materials. I actually retired in 1996. I started volunteering with KPFA. I was on staff as a consultant during the whole breakdown in the governance of the foundation. 1999, I was involved in that whole process. As we went to court to try to get back the foundation, I took a break and worked in corporate America for about a year again, and then came back when the bylaws were finalized and started working with with the foundation on the board. I was on the national board. I was the treasurer of the national board. So again, this mission that we're on, this peace and social justice, you know, this whole process, bylaws with the elections, which is how we actually end up installing the officers of the foundation. And also, I saw an article that Tracy had sent out, and the fact that the elections involve the listeners, the people who are hopefully listening now to this meeting, the listeners who contribute to the stations, who actually supply the funds to allow us to operate, that we're involving you. We're using your funds to involve you in our governance. And we thank you, and I think that this message really needs to be reinforced, because, quite frankly, we're getting messages that are contrary to that. And some of these messages are on the air. So again, we welcome the listeners. We thank you for the contributions done the fund drive. We really appreciate this. And now I'll just kind of get started here. And I had distributed a written report, which as soon as we pull it up here, I will start reading it so we can get it on the record. The foundation, I'm still looking for it here. The foundation, as we know, we're in not only in a recessionary times in the economy, but we also face the challenges within the foundation in terms of fundraising and in terms of the issues that have developed over the years, or in some people's case, they'll probably say that it has the issues that have been with the foundation from the very beginning. So, but we are at this point, at this time, in July of 2010, and we face unique problems at this point, which I'm going to summarize for you just in a second here, as soon as I pull up my file.
This is okay.
I have it right here. Okay. Again, so basically, we have, as I had said, again, this is LaVarne Williams, CFO of the Pacifica Foundation. I will stop being facetious or funny, but yeah. So, the Pacifica Foundation continues to establish a new era of accountability and sustainability as we move into the last quarter of this fiscal year of 2010. And as a not-for-profit foundation, we are also experiencing the effects of recessionary trends in the economy. Total revenues for the first three quarters of fiscal 2010 are $11 million compared to a budget of $12.3 million, or we're about 10.8% worse than budget, but we're slightly above the revenue of last year of 2009. The internal drivers for the revenue shortfall to budget are primarily in listener support, and some of these causes are the timing of the fund drives, and specifically we've had later starts at KPFA, which KPFA is the station that has continued to produce the highest fund drives. They have been very successful in their fund drives, but the fund drives have been delayed from what it was originally planned in the budget. Another major reason is that there's the antenna failure and lowered coverage of the Washington-Baltimore metropolitan market at WPFW. That the manager, Grigsby Hubbard, had spoken to that last night, I believe, that they've had major antenna failure where they've been at much lower coverage, much lower watt. We've had a lot of expenses because of that. We've also had, in terms of having engineers and having to pay a number of people, but also you have lower coverage so that when you're doing your fund drives, you're really not getting the audience that you normally get. So their revenue that they've produced over this period have been lower than what was put in the budget. But on the other side, their fulfillment in terms of the staff that they have to bring in the funds that they raised, that's been working really well. They're probably at about 80% or so on fulfillment. The other really major problem is the problem with the lack of the fulfillment of pledges due to a failure to consistently execute the basic task to convert pledges to cash and to maintain the subscriber base at WBAI. I believe Bertolt Reimers had stated last night that when you ran the reports for our election, I think clearly only a third or so of the subscribers on this list were actually subscribers last year. So those basic things are what are driving WBAI's lower than expected listener support revenue. And the foundation net income for the first three quarters of the year is in the red. We're at $63,000 in the red at a deficit. The current economic climate places a damper on the ability of subscribers to contribute to charitable organizations, and the current unemployment throughout the U.S. is at 9.3%. In California, at the end of May, in California, it's 11.9%. And you have your two major stations, the Berkeley station and the Los Angeles station, are in California. So that contributes some to the revenue shortfalls and to lower than expected revenue. And in summary, as stated in earlier reports that I've done, we continue to walk through the valley of, in quote, let the enemy own the problems to come. This little quote was actually in an email that was sent out from one of the local station board members when there was a change in terms of the majority on the board. So this was actually said, and this is a fact. This is what we're in. We're this revenue shortfall, the antenna problems, all of those are a result of actions in the past or lack of actions in the past. But we do believe there are positive directions for reducing this loss. In fact, our goal is to break even at the end of this fiscal year, which is just 3 months away, September the 30th. But we actually, at KPFA, we implemented the financial accountability motion where at KPFA last year, there was a net loss after the audit of $941,889. So this is serious, and this is why we are implementing this financial accountability motion where the national office has set up the accounts that belong to KPFA. We will send the money out from the national office versus having the station have the funds come into the station. And one of the reasons for that, of course, is that the National Office of the Pacifica Foundation is responsible for all of the for the economic position of the foundation. And when there's any losses or anything, the foundation, the National Office, the Pacifica Foundation has to somehow come up with funds to cover that. So we think that the accountability and the responsibility and the funds should be in the same place. And also at KPFA, the other reason to move into this direction is that the station failed to deposit a check of $375,000 from the Heath Foundation. But since then, we've worked with our attorney, with the Heath Foundation, and we have since deposited that, we've had that check deposited into the San Francisco Foundation, where they will manage the funds, and those funds still would be available to the foundation due to exigent circumstances, and also for projects in concerning KPFA as far as capital improvement. So the funds are there. The funds will be on our balance sheet as a receivable. And also, one of the other reasons that we think that there's some light, or that we might be able to break even, is that there is that KPFA has now rolled out some of their reductions in salary. Like all the other stations, actually reduce salaries, reduce staff, in 2008. And so what the plan now that is actually, we've rolled out some changes that happened in the month of July, and basically what they've done is to reduce the number of hours that each person works. And also, there's been some attrition. And this package that I have for you, and we're putting this on a CD-ROM, is that you will see, for not by name, but you'll see the salaries for the first pay period for July, and you'll see the number of people and the number of what we call full-time equivalents, and, you know, which station has the most number of people working, what stations are, you know, have the headcount is basically, you know, bare bones in terms of getting the product out, getting the sound, the quality on the air, and getting the message. They're doing that, and we really appreciate that. Another reason that we think there will be improvement by year end is that we have a new management at WBAI, and to address this failure to execute the basic task of converting the pledges into cash and maintaining the subscriber base. And again, I've said this, that the successful business model of the foundation, as developed 60 years ago, continues to show success in Los Angeles and in Houston. And the other stations, including Washington, which has higher Arbitron ratings, really, and that's, they really, their major contributions during the fund drive are on the weekends, that, you know, that they're, and the other stations are trying to find other means to raise funds and also to generate positive public relations. And, but as we know that, you know, on-air fundraising is the only method that is really available to the foundation to raise significant funds to pay off the debts of the foundation, whether these debts are internal or external. And, speaking of internal, a little about the central services. This is the concept where we try to achieve economies of scale so that things are done at the Pacifica National office that are done for the station. For example, like last week, I wrote insurance checks. I wrote checks for state registrations. All of the stations operate in all of the states. We have to pay state registration fees to those states. So, you know, we signed about, I don't know, 20 checks for those. And it varies, I don't know, $75 up to, I think one of them is about $600. So those are the expenses that we have. You know, we have Democracy Now!, which is $156,000 per quarter is what is due to Democracy Now! In that contract. We have insurance expenses at the Pacifica National office. They're about $50,000 a quarter. We have the satellite fees. It's about $21,000 a quarter. And this year, we had audit fees were at $142,000 this year because, and we still owe about, well, I shouldn't say, well, we still owe on that bill. And, June year-to-date central services yielded actual cash transfers totaling almost June. This is for June year-to-date. We've received in terms of central services to pay for these major items about $900,000. But actually, only 43% of the total was due from what was owed from the prior year. So we're still behind on that. We have a chart also in the package here that gives you that information. So in total, we have an interstation receivable, with the Pacifica National Office in excess of $2 million. Now, we went through the audit, and we talked about that. So this year, what we're going to do is sit down with our auditor, which is we have scheduled for later this month, and talk about, you know, how we really should treat this $2 million receivable at this point, that I think we do need to do an adjustment realistically and to move forward on that, and I'll inform you of that. So the outlook again, we're trying to have break even at the end of this year. Those actions we have taken, we think that that will impact it. We had the meeting on Thursday with the general managers. People, you know, identified what they could do can contribute to their stations, like with KPFK. You know, they're saying use this peace team to go out and work with the website, like at PFW, and those types of things are like you can, if you implement it, like you said, you can raise funds and immediately, and working with WBAI again. So we're really jazzed about doing those things, and we know that they will help us. And we're also the other major point that we're doing is that our executive director, we are like cutting out overtime, cutting out consultants, cutting out all discretionary expenses, and those will be reviewed, and consultants and all of that will have to be approved by the executive director. So we understand the position we're in, you know, the cash flow, you have to have a little outlook on that. You know, we're really trying to break even, but we definitely have cash flow problems at PFW, not only due to the antenna, but the other major problem, as we've all talked about, are our legal expenses, that we seem to be a foundation that seem to, like a suit magnet or something, and that's SUIT. So that we are really struggling with that. We're trying to conclude the lawsuits that are out there now, so that we can cut out those major expenses. And again, just getting back into some of the details of the June year-to-date results, our cash position at the end of June is $1 million, and it's down from about $1.2 million in May. And KPFK continues to enjoy the greatest cash balance, which was at $466,000 at the end of June. KPFT, as Duane talked last night, they really enjoy the best cash to monthly expense ratio of all the units. They have consistently done this over the last 18 months or so that I've been involved. And the average expenses, like Duane had said, at KPFT are about $100,000 that include their contribution to the to the costs that are shared by all stations, and their cash balance at the end was over at the end of June and in March was about $200,000. So they have stayed consistent in terms of maintaining their reserves. And again, we really congratulate the management and the staff at KPFT. Another little getting into more details here, KPFA in Berkeley and WBAI in New York continued deficit spending in the third quarter. And KPFA's deficit was almost $300,000, $289,000. WBAI's was $276,000. That's a deficit for the first three quarters of the year. And KPFA's deficit spending is due partly to the salaries and related expenses. And that's what we talked about, the rollout of reducing the number of hours. Again, I have a sheet. We'll give you a CD-ROM. You'll see it here. And this is private and confidential. There are no names, but there are salaries on there. But that just shows you how much, that will give you an idea how much the salaries are, you know, what the headcount look like and the number of FTEs. So I believe the number of FTEs was 156 for the foundation. I'll look at it up there. And so those are the things that we have to really look at. And at BAI, again, the spending, deficit spending is due primarily to a failure to collect pledges through consistent invoicing, a failure to collect installments or EFT payments, our credit card declines. This is just, you know, what had happened is that when a credit card is initially processed after a fund drive, if for some reason the it the card is declined. Basically, what you have to do is go and call the listener, and usually there's just a mistake. There's a transposed number or whatever, but, you know, you call the listener, and I was speaking with someone else that when you do that, when you're talking to the listener, because I was in my little stint at BAI, when you call and talk to the listener, you know, they appreciate you calling. So not only will you collect any, any because that particular credit card failed, but you, at that point, you can collect any other thing that they owe or if they want something else. So, you know, in terms of talking and engaging our listeners who are contributing this money, that's primarily what we need to do. So the challenge at BAI, of course, is to deliver the back end of the fund drive, and that we really must, you know, seize this opportunity. So, again, kind of talk about the process within finance, and, you know, there we've had some accomplishments in the finance group, including in this close, we actually completed the close on the fifth workday. We had reports that I sent out on the sixth workday. So this is really good. We've worked really hard on this, both in the Pacifica National Office and with the business managers in terms of understanding the need to get this information out. So, before we got really involved in this, they were actually closing the books like on the 23rd workday of the month. And the National Finance Committee has already begun the process of reviewing the 2011 budgets. And we completed the review of the KPFT budget with the business manager, Markeisha Sampson. We also completed a review of the Pacifica Radio Archives budget with the director, Brian DeShazers. So we are really far ahead of the prior year in terms of getting the budgets there and being able to review them. And the KPFK budget, I might add, is already completed. We're scheduling that review. It's been completed for a while. There was also an update. So that's done. We just have to set up the review with the Finance Committee and we have to set up the review with the business manager, and also we'll like you, Jennifer or Bob, to be on the call too. And the other thing is that, you know, as all of us here, we all have our little personal things we want to put on the table, and that, you know, we're doing these things, but we're still understaffed compared to where the finance office was like probably in January, December of a year ago. But we're trying to incorporate, you know, again, achieve these economies of scale in both the funding requirements and operations that, you know, we're submitting CPB-required documents directly from the foundation office. And then the reason for that is that there were reports submitted to the CPB that resulted in a reduction in our funding because they were submitted inaccurately. So now, you know, people understand this. We have new management. So we get the information at the national office, and we submit the documents after we get the information from the stations. And I mentioned that, you know, the state registration fees that we have to pay, that, you know, we're implementing the financial accountability motion at KPFA. We have an initial meeting that we're setting up. We had a little training session, review session on Friday with our auditor. So we're setting up a meeting with him so that we can start discussing the audit for this year's audit, so that will not go on forever. And that also what we've implemented are to have meetings with the development directors and database managers to review finance, elections, audit, and technical issues. And this has worked out pretty well, I think, and that basically what it allows these people who are in different stations to share their common successes and their issues so that we can work it together and can actually produce so that everyone will be aware of when they're needed to produce reports. And, like, you know, they really appreciated the fact that we got the information on the elections. This was 2 months ago, so that they knew the timing of the election so they could start preparing for that. You know, we're talking about the audit. You know, we'll go over that in terms of the reports that are required and how we can have those in one place, and we can only deal with reports one time versus various times. So basically, in conclusion, with the Pacifica Foundation, you know, my position is that we are in a position to coalesce and create a rebirth in radio broadcasting, or, you know, the foundation can continue devolving to the point that its governance and operations can no longer sustain the principles of peace and justice on which it is founded. The critical goals at this time are to implement measures to minimize the deficits at WBAI and KPFA, and to assist in staunching the cash flow shortages at WPFW. WPFW's current management is addressing massive inherited problems caused by prior management, including the antenna failure, legal, and other expenses. And the foundation as a whole, though, we believe that we can overcome these issues and that we can possibly break even before the audit at year end. So that's kind of where we are overall. And I have a number of the reports that we can look at, a couple of them, talk about the deficit. We have a balance sheet. We can look at what the losses were, the surpluses were for each station. I'm going to move here. Okay.
Lauren, how much longer do you think the report will take?
I can do it in 3 minutes.
Great.
Okay. So we have a number of reports here. I'll just talk about this one here. What we do is to consolidate, get a report on the fund drives that we had, the spring fund drive. We can just give you some information on that. And this is actually the ED's report, but I have it here, so I'll go over it myself. So just to let you know where we are, that KPFK actually restarted their drive in June. So their information is not on this sheet, but they did do 3 days at the early part of May where they just really knocked everything out. They in a 3 day drive they actually raised.
Can you zoom in because we can't read that at all back here?
Oh, you can't. Okay.
The lower right does a little zoom slider.
Why don't you come over here and help me? I really don't work with an Apple.
Okay.
But need it now.
That little slider up there changes the zoom level.
Okay. Okay, that was Bill Crozier. Thank you, Bill. Okay. Can we see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Great. Okay. So I was just talking about, we'll just go to WBAI, which is up here now. We see that their drive, they did actually a drive that lasted for 32 days, and they raised $830,000, and their goal, I believe, was 850. Is that right? So, but they're still WBAI in terms of fundraising itself. They're like right on. They're really, really doing well. They have for the past since like May of last year. And but the big challenge for our new general manager at BAI, Bertil Reimers, is to convert those pledges into cash. And our meeting, you know, we talked as a group, and there are things we can do to help him do that. So we're really, really, really excited about the possibility of turning that turning those pledges into cash. KPFK, like we said, they did a 3 day drive early in May. This was the part where they raised almost $128,000 in 3 days, so that was great. And then they picked it up later, and that happened in June. And as you see these numbers when they come in, we also have fulfillment rates, but they're also on another page. So at KPFT, that's what I think so too. You were slightly over goal at WBAI.
This is
right. Yeah. So at KPFT, right. At this, yeah. Well, let me look at this one. The only one that I see really here was the one for KPFK, which was correct. But again, the purpose of having this information is to show, you know, in terms of the number of days that we're fund driving, like a lot of days at some stations, and the challenge for us as a foundation is to reduce those number of days that, you know, we can look at these numbers across the station to see on a daily basis, you know, where are you raising the funds, you know, what are the higher days, you know, is it toward the end of the drive? And then there are other questions like, okay, if you're raising lots of funds at the end of the drive, I mean, if your last fund drive day is like you raised $150,000, do you just stop the drive because you've met those number of days or you've met that total? Or if people are given, do you expect them to continue to give? So I'll just stop there, and you know, if there are questions, then maybe I can just pull up some of the files.
We do need questions about this, so I'll allocate, let's say, 15 minutes for questions. I have one first, and then I have Nia and Campbell and Afia, and the difference between the money in the bank at KPFA, which for several years before had been on the order of $1 million, and what happened last year, you said it was something over $900,000. The salary cutback that was supposed to have occurred at the beginning of the fiscal year and didn't occur amounted to something like $300,000 of that. What was the rest of the? Where did the rest of that money go?
It was last year. It was in legal expenses. I have the audit on this drive that I'm going to give you. The audit is on there. It went in legal expenses. At when you say the cut in salaries, not only were the cuts expected, but we found that even this year, as we looked at the salaries, there was additional hours worked for a number of staff that were not, you know, those that was not planned to have these, not really overtime because, you know, it has to be greater than 40 hours, but these extra hours. So there was like lots of, the salaries were a lot higher.
Got it. Thank you.
Consultants was a big chunk in it.
How much was the legal expenses, and how much was due to the overage and the overtime payments? You know?
I have to get my sheets for last year. If yeah. I can, if Bill, if you can help me pull up the report, it's on here.
Left column to your drive.
File.
Right below MacBook. Go down.
Just right here. Okay, but yeah, there were like you said, the consultants.
See,
oh, right here, right. Here we are. Okay. So, as Arlene said, there were. Right. Okay. Here is our listener support, other operating. It was.
And another big piece that we identified there, George, was that the income was so much below what had been expected that they were using it to meet the regular expenses. So in addition to the expenses being heavier than they should have been, the income was way down.
Thank you.
Particularly during the last 6 months.
Yep. And when I alluded to the drives in terms of, you know, instead of the goal being the funds in order to operate in the black, the goal became, you know, the number of days, and once you hit the day, then you stop, versus looking at a cash flow to see if the cash you raise would be able to take you through the end of the year, and that's what was happening at KPFA. Okay, this, I was trying to come up with FTEs. Like at the end of the first pay period in July, the Pacifica Foundation, there were 111 FTEs. There were 154 staff who were paid. And if you look at this column over here to the left, that's KPFA. KPFA, at the end of July, they had, in terms of paid employees, there were 56 or 30 FTEs, as Ahmad had asked and I told last night. So this is a challenge here. It's a challenge. And if you look at, you know, when the staff really went, at one time it was even up to like 43, that we're rolling out reductions, and you know, and it's important that people who have contributed to stations, if we can maintain them there, that is what we go. That is the ideal. But with KPFA and with the deficit of $289,000 for the first three quarters, you know, you cannot sustain a station like that. So you have to take actions, and you know, hopefully we were looking at the numbers and what Arlene and Ahmad had spoke about before in terms of trying to get the about 400,000. We just looked at, we actually did a projection for 2011. I think it came in at like Arlene said, 1,250,000. And if we look at the numbers right now, I think I projected about 1.6 or 1.7 at the end of this year, even with the reductions.
Nia.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Nia Bediako from WBAI. Thanks for what you've reported, Levarne. I'd like to address the management letter, and in terms of the issues that were mentioned, and one big one for me, well, I think it's a WBAI and maybe KPFA, is that pledges paid by credit card are not routinely reconciled to cash receipts. It's a biggie because we want to make sure that people are saying that they've pledged X dollars, that X dollars is also going into the bank accounts. So what processes have you implemented? I'm just picking that one to make sure that this is done. And the my other question is, do you have a detailed plan that you can give to us as directors for addressing these issues? And where are we? Because I think we're going to the next audit, so we're about 80% of the way, and have 80% of these problems been addressed?
I have a spreadsheet which I think I've communicated and sent out before that shows, you know, on a timeline where these little processes are, so we can go through and see in terms of 80% of achieving everything on the management letter. I don't think that's a reasonable point. I think they're, because in terms of processes, you know, they can't be implemented like even immediately. It has to roll, you have to roll them in, because first you have to have training, you have to have staff there who can actually do these tasks. And we've done that. That was the major thing that we needed to do, was look at the skills of the individuals who need to do this. And we have identified where it's lacking, and I've talked a number of times about WBAI. Now, KPFA, there's not that problem there that I don't believe. I'll have to look at the management letter. The issue is at WBAI as far as matching credit cards to cash and to deposits. And at WBAI, that is the reason why, on in terms of revenue for 2009, that we couldn't, that the task or the skill set wasn't there to actually accomplish that task. To go in, see where the original card or pledge had been charged to a credit card, and even we talked about credit card declines, or even where if you go in and have that card and run that card again, that how that card actually even get into MEMSIS versus, you know, into the bank. So that's, again, it's been identified where the skill set is lacking to get that done.
Yes, Sally.
And you've done part of the training with the business staff there in order to make sure that some of this is happening, and now Berthold is monitoring that very closely to make sure that it's happening. So it'll be a hands-on, because that is a major at WBAI.
Okay. And in terms of the gosh, it's early in the morning, can't function. In terms of the EFTs, electronic funds transfer, those, how is that going? Because I know that there was no particular process in order to do that.
Well, and actually, they,
installment payments weren't. Yeah. We were supposedly lost $100,000 for installment payments, and what processes have been put in place to make sure that the installment payments are followed upon?
That's what same answer that Arlene just gave. You know, we have new management at WBAI, new management to monitor that. We understand it's clearly identified what you're saying, that it wasn't done. So even in terms of the EFTs, actually there's another side to that, that there was a process, but the process did not use the, well, first of all, they didn't have the people there to do it because it was like totally manual and did not utilize the system that we do have to do that. And in a lot of cases, you know, EFTs, people just don't take them and they'll try to take installments. Now, Bertolt Reimers, when we were working on this project, like at the end of last year, we actually had set up processes to do those things, you know, because we knew what the process was, what the process should be before the management letter, because I talked with Tony Pohl and we talked through these things. Tony Pohl is our auditor. So, again, there was a process for someone to manually do a tickler, but you don't do ticklers. You use the system. The system takes the information. And also, we had set up in New York before I left, and I was working with Bertolt at the time, is that he had actually initiated the first installment. It's you do it on a monthly basis. So the process was identified, it was done, and then it wasn't done, and now Bertolt is in, and we know that it will be done again. So that's where we are at BAI with that issue.
Campbell.
Thank you very much. It's Campbell Johnson, WPFW. The first question that I have, in looking at the WPFW budget here, well, first question, let me back up a second. Has there been an indication of what accounting changes have taken place in this past year or in the past 2 years with regard to how, for example, in particular, expenses that are charged to the national office versus those that are charged to the individual stations?
I'm sorry. I really don't understand your question.
Accounting changes in terms of what is charged to the national office versus what is charged to individual stations?
Well, the way the expenses come into the station, but there are some expenses that we try to achieve, like I said, these economies of scale, where we take care of that, like we do state registrations, where each station get, you know, where do they operate, and they have to send in these forms. We just send in a form for the Pacifica Foundation. We do with insurance. So, you know, the station, they, you know, get an invoice due to expenses. They pay their expenses. So what specifically are you speaking about?
One thing in particular would be in regard to the legal cases that the network has achieved. And these are the settlement costs for these. Have they historically been charged to the individual stations, or have they historically been absorbed in the national office? And the legal fees.
Let me try to explain. The national office, in terms of absorbing, I don't mean to be flip, but I don't have a printing press. So I can't print cash. The cash comes in. The national office does raise funds through the affiliates and through subcarriers and through direct mail. But for our expenses that are related to legal expenses, KPFA can let you can confirm this. They are brought about through actions at a station. Those legal expenses, due to where the action took place, that station take care of those legal expenses. And like I said, KPFA can attest to that. When Jim is on the board, he was there at KPFA at the time when there were some legal fees. And even since then. So, yes, the station where the incident action occurred takes care of those costs.
There's a certain amount in this regard that's identified for settlement costs that's attributed to WPFW.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is this pertaining to any new litigation, or is this in regard to something that has been going on for a period of time?
Let me say something, and I have to be careful of when I say it. I know when each station doesn't have an attorney. The foundation has an attorney, so the attorney gives advice to the management at the foundation and to this board, and with legal advice, those that's usually taken is considered and taken. So when we try to assign responsibility, I mean the responsibility is where the action took place, the initial cause for the action, which is at the station. So that settlement cost, I know exactly what it is. I can tell. I can't really talk about it in public, but it's due to an action that was taken place with staff at WPFW.
Was this an action by the national office precipitating, or was this an action that internally occurred within WPFW?
I think we're getting into legal issues that need to be saved for discussion.
I'm not getting into any legal issues. I'm just talking about the numbers and where the costs are being identified, whether it's to the station or whether it's to the national budget. And if it's an action that was undertaken by the national organization, its structure, then I think it would be appropriately identified there. And my understanding previously had been, prior to this past year, that what has taken place is that these were all identified under the consolidated, under the national budget and the national office budget. However, recently this has been segued to the local stations.
The answer is no.
The answer is no to what question?
That it wasn't done anyway separate. I just told you again, and Jim has been at KPFA. KPFA has had some legal settlements over the last couple of years that have been very significant, and that's also one of the reasons why KPFA had a significant loss last year. So no, those costs are those. If it's an individual at that station and an action, or there's a suit barred by, or some settlement with those employees at that station, that station is the one that absorbs the cost.
So you referenced twice KPFA. My questions were pertaining to WPFW and
KW. Okay, I'm sorry.
And to pick the particular item that I saw on this budget, and
can I just interrupt because we're getting done? I will tell you exactly who it is, what it is, but
I don't need to know that.
Accounting has not changed.
I want to draw a close to this.
Are there,
the specifics can be you can find out between you. I think the question about that was asked about has it usually in the past been charged back to the stations, and the answer is yes, it has.
Okay, which is. Differs from my understanding. The next question that I have is in regard to total revenues, and you're involved in the development of the budget last year, and that is the one that identifies the budgeted amounts here. And when we look at the budgeted amounts, we can see that total revenues are down 23% from budget, and there are about six or seven categories of revenue sources that are identified in the budget, but that there was maybe absolutely nothing resulting from. And I know when I sat on the National Finance Committee, what we had to do was to validate all of these kinds of categories in terms of revenue sources, et cetera. And last year it appears as though a number of categories such as the donations card donations, website donations, corporate match, major donor income, etc. A number of these categories were listed in the budget, but in terms of the year-to-date that we have for the period ending, 9 months ending June 30th, there's absolutely nothing that took place on this. And I was wondering, what was the basis for including these amounts in the budget?
I'm sure everything that in the budget that usually we put in there are based on what we expect to do. So in some of the cases, I guess we have to make sure that they're, the proper categories have been used. But like the website income, I alluded to that. Well, I spoke about it earlier in terms of WPFW, and that we've identified a peace team that could come in and help get that started. So it's due to, because that's what you expect to do. A budget is a budget. You look at what you expect to do that the next year, and you try to determine how much you will get revenue you will achieve. Can I just let Jim hasn't talked, and he had a point he needed to make.
I just wanted to ask a clarification following up on that.
Okay, thank you.
Isn't it based on what you had done the previous year in terms of putting
proven revenue?
That's
what we try to do. Right. But if we think there's a project that you're pretty sure you're going to get on, you're going to start that year, then we put that in. Now you can put it in the budget, or you can show it as an opportunity or risk to the budget. So in this case, we put it in the budget versus showing it as an opportunity.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll finish short.
Campbell, other people need to ask questions also.
Well,
and we have limited time.
I trust that they should certainly be given the opportunity. But I think that there are some issues pertaining to this, presentation that are that are of concern. And I think that our members, our listeners, anybody on the stream deserves to get some information in that regard.
I understand that. We'll come back to you after we give other people a chance to speak also, so they may catch some of your concerns. So, Fia.
Thank you for your report, Levarne. You mentioned that we had that the HEAF check was recovered and deposited with the San Francisco Foundation, and that we had access to it under two sets of circumstances, one of which is exigent circumstances. And my question on that point is, who decides what constitutes an exigent circumstance?
You know, primarily what we do is we ask our counsel to look at it to make sure that the criteria. Well, if we see it as exigent circumstances, then we'll have our counsel to look at it to make sure that legally we are within the definitions as set forth in the agreement.
Has a copy of the agreement been made available to the board?
Let me tell you about this also. I have a copy. I have a copy right there in my little folder, but it's handwritten, and I have not gotten the final. I have not gotten a report from that the way we have it set up at the HEAT Foundation. So once I get like this report that's generated by the computer, and then we'll attach the document, and I will give that to you. But that's when I plan to do that.
It's my understanding that the trustees of the San Francisco Foundation also would need to approve anything that we requested. Now that's a change from the original situation that it would have been when the check was originally issued to KPFA and the foundation. Now there's a middle party involved.
We'll look forward to the documents that you've mentioned. You also indicated that that the Berkeley station, part of the expenditure of the $1 million was attorney's fees. or legal expenses. And I wanted to know what percentage were attorney's fees, damages, or sanctions?
From last year, from 2009?
Exactly.
I don't have that information now, but there were some from this year, from billings this year, and what happened is that our attorneys, deducted those sanctions from their billings.